Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, apparently Hyatt Hotels works on a different calendar than the rest of us, and a giant landmark has fallen in the forest. We have details.
We have a sort of a celebrity show today with a travel celebrity up front and entertainment celebrity later on. Roger Dow of U.S. Travel joins us to talk about new plans for the TSA. That's at 3:20.
If you have the unfortunate lot in life of having purchased a timeshare, you may feel you wasted your money, but it could be worse. You could resell your timeshare and get goosed a second time, but not if you listen to our report at 3:35.
We mentioned entertainment celebrities, and indeed, we sat down with Timothy B. Schmidt of the Eagles, who's from Sacramento and has a gig coming up at the Crest on Tuesday night. It's a great interview. You're going to enjoy it. Coming up at 3:45.
We have a terrific show today. Travel, entertainment, we have something for everybody. If you hang around for the next 55 minutes, you'll hear it all with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And I was looking, my wife showed me a picture of Donner Pass up in the Sierra Nevada. I don't know if you've seen it, Mark.
Everybody in Sacramento is up there this weekend.
Well, they cleared the roads, right? And it shows the cars going, you know, along the road, and it shows the snow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how high can you reach?
200 inches at Boreal in 1 week.
It looked like cars were going through a tunnel.
That's 16 plus feet.
It's unbelievable. I maybe tomorrow, I'm not going skiing or nothing, but I think maybe tomorrow I may just drive up there and look around. I did get my skis tuned and
we make
bought
fun
ski
of the,
clothes.
You're going to go up skiing, huh?
I really do. Well, the only problem is ever since I had pneumonia back in April, I don't know if I can handle the high altitude. You'll see me on the slopes. I'll be the guy with the two tanks on his back, and they're not rocket tanks. They're oxygen tanks. That will be me.
Just stay someplace where we can find you if the avalanche occurs. Someplace close to the lodge.
So we were talking before we started seconds ago.
Sure.
We usually talk about where we've gone and what we've done.
So ask me where I was this
week. Where were you this week?
No place besides home.
Wow.
I bought a car yesterday.
Oh, you did, huh?
I did. I went out to, I've been doing the CarMax thing. I've never done that before. I don't have a lot of positive things to say about experiences on car lots through the years. So when a friend pointed out to me that the CarMax thing was all done entirely differently, you just go out and browse around at hundreds of different automobiles,
right,
and they'll even bring ones in for you if you want, and they're nice people. They don't pressure you.
You get what you see.
They give you a fair offer for your car. You want to sell it to them, fine. You don't, that's fine. You can buy theirs, they'll buy yours. You can do them both together. You can do either one of them. It's really quite refreshing. And I've had a gentleman named Brad who's worked with me out there, and so tomorrow, on Monday, Sherman, which is what my old car is called because he's kind of like a tank, is going to the old car folks.
Okay,
home.
Are you giving Sherman selling him to CarMax?
Yes. Try to be quiet because Sherman's downstairs and Sherman doesn't know yet what's happening to him on Monday. But yes, and then I will take the new vehicle, which is actually not a new vehicle, but it's a used vehicle. But it's a rental car vehicle. How
okay.
appropriate.
Sure.
And I'm taking it out and leaving it at the airport for a week. So, you know,
there you go.
just so it'll know where it belongs.
It's gonna sit out there and going, who bought me?
Yep.
What is this? This is not what it'd be like one of those commercials where the cars talk and so forth going, this is not what I signed up for.
Uh-huh.
I thought he seemed like a nice man. He was going to take me home and wash me and park me inside in a garage.
Uh-huh. And he takes me to the airport and he doesn't even park in the garage.
No, you'll be parked out in the eco lot. You know, the last time I flew, which was on Christmas Day, we got out to the airport and the economy lot was as full Zonked as it could possibly
yeah.
be.
Uh-huh.
Okay, even though they let you in. Anyway, I didn't know whether we were. I didn't know whether we were going
to
get parked, and finally, I found a spot. And of course, if you remember, it had been raining quite a bit. I found a spot that was about a foot of water,
uh-huh.
and nobody wanted to park in it because when you got out, you were in the. So I did. I parked in the giant puddle because it was the only place to park.
Poor Mrs. Romano.
And we waited. I let them out of the car first, and then I was the one that was with the soppy feet the rest of the trip.
Stephanie over there in the side going, yeah, that's my husband.
There you go.
That's him. So ask me where I'm going.
Where are you going, Mark?
I'm going to Hawaii. I'm taking our videographer for a few days. We have this wonderful tour to Hawaii. To Kauai and Maui, and it's not selling as well as I would like it to sell, and I feel it's part of the reason is because we can't really show people what they're going to do when they get mm-hmm, there. So, mm-hmm. by God, I'm going to take the videographer over there. We're going to all the places the tour goes to, and I'm going to bring it home and, you know, try to get people to watch it and get them to sign up that way. So that's, and then I come home. I'm here for 24 hours. I go to the New York Times travel show at Travel Guys every year. And then from there, I hop right down and join our group in Key West. So that's my next 2 weeks, Hawaii, New York City, and Key West.
And we were talking about this earlier. How do you pull off, you know, dressing for Hawaii, barely getting in town in time uh-huh. to almost turn around and get on a plane and go to New York, and then from there to Key West?
Hawaii and Key West are the same attire.
Okay.
So Aloha shirts and short pants, generally. So those things don't necessarily need a dry cleaners. You can probably get away with a hotel laundry and a fluff and dry kind of thing with Aloha shirts if you're lucky. So that covers. So all I have to do is figure out the New York thing in the middle and hope that I don't get a snowstorm that keeps me from getting to down to Florida to join the Key West group. But, you know, there's a plan B for that. But anyway, that's where I'm going. So next week, the Travel Guys will be live from the Royal Lahaina Resort. On
one of the Travel Guys will be live
Kaanapali
from the Royal
Beach. Yes,
and
one
the other,
will not.
The other one will be right here in the fabulous KFBK studio.
We sit here and blab for about three more minutes. We won't have time for the travel news today.
All right, let's do it. Here comes Mark Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen, with the travel news.
A 2-minute travel news blitz. Okay, let's talk about presidents. It's kind of a presidential week. A lot of people are going to talk about presidents. One thing presidents do as they're leaving office is to bestow national monument status on lots of places. And our president is no exception. He has been bestowing a lot. He has added 6,000 acres to the California Coastal National Monument, 47,000 acres to the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, which actually is in Oregon and California. So that's something that has direct bearing on us. He has also named a number of civil rights sites in the South, in Birmingham and in Anniston, as national monuments. So that the outgoing president has been hard at work. The incoming president says that he will donate the profits from his hotel in Washington, D.C. to the U.S. Treasury. While he is president, incoming President Trump says that's the fair thing to do. I wouldn't argue with that. I suspect the hotel will be quite popular, particularly with foreign diplomats who may be hoping to curry the president's favor by staying in his hotel. However, before they stay there, they may want to know this. Luxury Travel Intelligence says that the new hotel in Washington, D.C., Mr. Trump's new hotel, is the third worst luxury opening this year. Quote, the building itself is undoubtedly impressive, but once we get inside, we start to ask questions. The decor is a little garish. There's more quantity over quality. Service is poor on occasions and lacks confidence. The whole experience seems a little forced, and therefore this place is not for the true discerning luxury traveler.
My.
I would never be in the hotel in the first place because I couldn't pay the freight, I'm sure, but anyway, so the president is donating all of his profits if anybody goes and stays there. Speaking of flights from hell, Friday was the 13th.
Yes.
Yes. There is a flight, 666.
Right, to Helsinki.
That flies to Helsinki. Very yes. good. Yes.
Somebody, a friend of mine, Tony Cox, he posted it on his Facebook
page. It's a Finnair flight.
Picture of the ticket.
It's a little over an hour, mm-hmm. and it's flight 666. Mm-hmm. And adding to the superstitious factors of the flight, the plane they flew the flight on this year was 13 years old.
Boy.
Anyway, the flight has been running for years, but the airline says it becomes popular whenever it lands on Friday. the 13th, flight 666 to, and the reason it's from hell, for those who are wondering what we're talking about, is we're talking about the airport abbreviation code for Helsinki is HEL. For Sacramento, it's SMF, which people would say, why would it be SMF? Because in the old days, the old executive airport was called Sacramento Metropolitan Field, Sacramento Municipal Field, then Sacramento Metropolitan. And so now we're Sacramento International, but we're still SMF.
Just kept it.
For many years, when they used to handwrite the luggage things, Newburgh, New York, for whatever reason, is SWF, probably named after something, something field for the airfield. And bags would always end up, bags bound for Sacramento would end up, because when somebody's writing a W or an M on a luggage tag,
right,
it, very easy for it to get mistaken. And Sacramento bags would end up in Newburgh, New York, and Newburgh bags would end up in Sacramento. Okay, Hyatt, this has kind of become an interesting thing. When is a stay not, in 1 year, really not a stay? It appears as though Hyatt and perhaps several other hotel companies are counting stays that started on the 31st of December as stays in the new year. So why, you say, would that matter? If the hotel counted it, whether it was in 2016 or 2017, it would still count.
Well, yeah, because they count X number of days that you stay in a calendar year to get your perks.
If you needed that one to make your, to qualify for whatever level.
So then 31 counts in the new year?
The Hyatt is counting all of, even though all of everything they have says that any stay that starts in that year is counts as a stay in that year.
Yeah.
Their system is counting everything from the 31st as a stay for the first. And there are pages and pages on some of the frequent guest websites of folks talking about it. We talked in the headlines about a giant tree biting the dust, a big sequoia tree in Calaveras Big Tree State Park.
Yeah, I saw that.
Came down. Yeah, that's really a bummer, because for years you could drive through it, and for many recent years you could walk through it.
I never could understand how a tree that had a hole that size, you know, carved out of it, was still standing up anyway.
Well, and the answer is that you've taken part of the root system, and sequoias have very shallow root systems to start with, so you kind of doomed the tree is what happened.
And I think so.
It was only a matter of time. Uber and Lyft drivers to undergo stringent background checks in the state of Massachusetts. The highest background checks either, and we'll save this other little list for a little bit later. That's your travel news for today.
And we have the Travel Guys on KFBK. Stay tuned. We've got a super, super celebrity travel guest. Roger Dow of the U.S. Travel joins us right after this here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, I know you've been trying to hunt down this particular guest and get him on with us here on the Travel Guys for some time. So let our listeners know who we're going to be speaking with.
He's kind of the guru when it comes to travel here in the United States, or at least many of us in the industry consider him that. He is the president and CEO of U.S. Travel. Roger Dow joins us on the Travel Guys. Welcome, Roger.
Well, it's good to be with you always.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. U.S. Travel has released recently this document called A Blueprint to Streamline and Modernize TSA. We made it through last summer with TSA. At the beginning of the summer, I wasn't so sure we were going to make it, but thanks to a lot of publicity and a lot of attention caused to the Q-mageddon situations that started to happen at airports where people were waiting in line for hours and missing flights. Now, Roger, where do we go with the whole TSA thing? Some people pay a little to get in quicker and some people don't. And it seems like the TSA catches a lot of flack from people. And now we see here, I see from this blueprint that all of the money that's being collected from travelers to fund TSA, some of it is not making it there. So explain.
Yeah, and that's one of the first points is TSA came to Congress and Congress asked to appropriate, get more funds. So what they did is they increased the charge in your airline ticket by a few bucks. And that few bucks raised, you know, $1.6 billion a year. But then in the infinite wisdom of Congress, they said, well, you can't have that $1.6 billion. You can have like a third of it, and the rest goes to other stuff we want to do. And, you know, the world I come from, hey, if you're going to charge somebody to, you know, build a better product or give them a bigger hamburger, give them the bigger hamburger. And so that's the, one of the problems. So you and I, we're paying a lot more, and the money's not going to solve the problems that, if it were there, could be very helpful from people and technology, et cetera.
How do we change that?
one of the things we do is we put a spotlight on that, and we start screaming, as our organization has done, and said, look, we need TSA. It's a sad thing in a world that we have to have TSA, but it's more important as you look around the world today than ever. But I don't think Tom and Mark and Roger have to be treated like the next Muhammad Atta. I mean, we've been traveling for years. They know about them. I'll give them my high school grades if they want. But the bottom line, there should be a way for us to go through TSA much more efficiently. And there is. It's called TSA PreCheck. And trusted travelers have a proven record, can go through, don't take off their shoes, don't pull out their laptops, don't have to take out liquids, and you fly right through. Well, TSA PreCheck, but there's a little charge associated with it.
Yeah, $85 for 5 years, but an increasing number of people. And Roger, I have to tell you, as a tour operator, I'm seeing, you know, the people who bought TSA PreCheck in the beginning were business travelers, people who were road warriors, and they were on the plane all the time. Now what you're seeing, the people who are going after TSA PreCheck now, frequently I have members of my tour groups who will say, well, I have TSA PreCheck, and they're looking for the, you know, little thing on their boarding pass and stuff like that. So even folks who travel, let's say, 3-4 times a year are understanding that there is a value to getting through the airport and not having to take all of your clothes off.
Hey, exactly. And I know darn well you're taking your clothes off wouldn't help too much, and me would be awful. but the I'm telling you, the thing is, and here's the you just hit on the problem, is the business traveler joins TSA, $85 for 5 years. I think it's a bargain. I'd pay $85 if I saw a long line tomorrow morning just to get on the plane. But the problem is, if you have a family of four people, then all of a sudden you're not paying $85, but you're paying like $340, and you don't travel frequently. So we're saying to TSA, hey, let's look at the price. If you know, Mark or Tom or Roger are members, hey, how about their second member can join for half price and their kids for free, whatever. I mean, if Tom and his wife or Roger and his wife aren't terrorists, well, I bet their kids aren't either. So I think we've got to find a way of pricing it more effectively and getting more people in these programs.
Roger, with this blueprint, are there any other plans with the TSA to automate or more to streamline it physically or any other things that you could bring to our attention?
Well, there's a whole lot. So much can be done in the area of technology. I've been seeing some things that are amazing, what they can do with facial recognition, things like that. The future of TSA is going to be, you know, we're not going to see it next week, but is going to be, you and I are going to walk down a corridor towards our flight, and the system is going to let us all pass, and all of a sudden beep on someone else because of facial work. That's the future. But that'll come along. So technology and innovation are important, but it's little stuff. One of the ways they got around those problems this summer is you've got a trained TSA worker. They got to go through all sorts of training, and you got that person carrying bins from the back of the line to the front of the line. Why can't someone else carry bins who's not a trained TSA screener? So they finally started doing that to leave the problem. The other thing is when you leave the airport, when you're leaving your flight, they've got somebody sitting there, you've seen them, to make sure people don't go the wrong way. Well, again, I don't think you have to be a TSA screener to do that. You could hire somebody who say, sorry, sir, lady, you can't go this way. So I think it's more effective use of people and not having mundane tasks done by highly trained people, and it's scheduling. A lot of times the TSA folks, you know, at the peak areas don't have enough people, and then during the day they're sitting around with their hands in their pockets.
Roger, let me ask you, there are a number of airports around the country, Kansas City, San Francisco are among them, that have opted out of the TSA program and have their own private security. What do you hear about TSA versus these airports with private security? Is it holding up? I mean, how is that working for the airports that have opted out?
It has worked, and it's one of the models you look at. And they still have to go by every criteria the TSA, you know, government worker does. They have to meet all this criteria, and they don't do all the jobs. There's certain parts of the jobs that they've privatized, and it's working very well. And there's several airports that are looking at it. San Francisco is one very good example of an airport that's implemented that program, and it's worked very, very well.
We're talking with Roger Dow, the president and CEO of U.S. Travel. And Roger, before we let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you for just a general update on tourism. It it's been my career. It's your career. It kind of strikes me that tourism has become an important part of the economic engine in this country. I mean, a much more important part than it ever was. I'd love to get your thoughts.
There's no question about it. And, you know, one of the things you and I both know that tourism promotes itself as being fun, frivolous. You can't see an ad for California or traveling to Florida or somewhere that isn't fun and exciting. And I think people look at us as the fun, frivolous industry versus being serious like manufacturing, healthcare. But yet $2.1 trillion of our economy is tourism. 1 in 9 jobs comes in tourism. And this is an industry that can employ the underemployed. You know, if up in your area, you've got all the smart people that work in technology and things like that. Well, if you don't have a college education, you can't go to work there. But you can go to work in a hotel or a restaurant. If you're smart and you hustle, next thing you're running a hotel. This is the industry that can employ the people that need jobs.
And I might also suggest it is an incredibly entrepreneurial industry, particularly with the millennial generation. They are never ending, it seems, finding different ways to try to resolve little travel issues. If they could figure out a way to get the airlines to give us 4 extra inches of legroom, why then they would really be doing something amazing. But some challenges still remain. That's a conversation for another day. Roger, thank you so much for your time today. Roger Dow, the president and CEO of U.S. Travel, the man who kind of oversees the whole thing for us in Washington, D.C. Roger, I'll look forward to seeing you back there in a couple of months.
Always look forward to you guys. Do a great job. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Roger. We are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler on KFVK every Sunday, 3 o'clock. Follow along with all the things we talk about. You can find it at TravelGuysRadio.com.
And coming up right after Carolyn with the news, we are going to take you on a little cruise, or at least a little cruise adventure, tell you how to get the best cruise rates, where to start, where do you start looking when you're going to book a cruise, with the Travel Guys right after the news on KFVK.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, the Travel Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mm-hmm. Mark, where's Stu?
We had a guest who was, there was some confusion as to whether he was going to call in or not, and then he did call in, and so we said, well, you know, we'll make room for him, and then he hasn't called back again, so I don't know what'll happen, but we already had something
we
to
did.
Talk about, so if he doesn't call back, we're fine.
There you go, okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about this whole timeshare thing, and that was about the fact that we both own timeshares.
Right, and you mentioned at the top of the show something about, watch out if you're going to go ahead and get rid of your timeshare, and sell it, that if you don't do it the right way, watch out. Yeah, I think you used the word second time.
There are companies that will sell your timeshare on what's called the secondary market.
Yes.
You can do it yourself.
Yes.
And there are a couple of links at travelguysradio.com. There's a wonderful article that talks about saving thousands of dollars by buying a timeshare on the secondary market. So, in other words, if you're thinking about buying a timeshare, you never, ever promise me, please. Listen, KFBK's Dave Ramsey has some thoughts about whether or not you should buy a timeshare. And
hold on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got poor Luis. He's trying to get our caller ready to go, and then we're calling for a soundbite. Go ahead.
Play Dave Ramsey's cut there.
Diane from Facebook wants to know if it's worth the free trip and dinner to sit through a timeshare pitch. No, it's not. You need to run away, because no amount of free trips or dinner are worth a lifetime of maintenance fees, special assessments, and frustration that comes with a stinking timeshare. And here's the thing. You're not strong enough to say no when you're in that presentation. Timeshare people are too persuasive. There's nothing good about a timeshare. It is.
You see? And that's what Dave Ramsey has to say, which pretty much echoes what we have to say. But the important thing here is that if you are buying a timeshare, you never want to buy it on the primary market. You always want to go to the secondary market. There's an article at travelguysradio.com. If you're thinking of buying a timeshare, that's where you go. If you're thinking of selling a timeshare, there are companies that you can sign up with who will just take your money and never sell your... Now, imagine you really want to get rid of this timeshare, and it's a cash drain on you every year. And so You send somebody $1,500 to sell your timeshare, and at the end of the day, you still have the timeshare, the bills, and you're out $1,500. And this is happening a lot.
Well, I would never, and I advise our listeners never to send money off for someone to sell a timeshare for you.
Exactly. It should be a commissionable type of
arrangement.
Exactly.
Once they sell it, then they get paid.
Then they get paid. Exactly. And there is an example of a company called Red Week, which you can find there at TravelGuysRadio.com. We just wanted to point out a couple of examples. If you're thinking, if you just feel like you have to own a timeshare and you've gone to one of those presentations and you've somehow resisted the temptation to buy, you can buy it on the secondary market, usually for 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. And if you need to sell one, you're not going to get a lot for it, but don't let somebody take you to the cleaners and take money from you on the pretense of perhaps selling your timeshare when that doesn't happen. You shouldn't be paying anything for it until it actually gets sold.
Okay, let's go to the phone. I think we have the cruise guy on the line.
Stuart, are you there with us on the line?
Hey, Mark and Tom, how are you?
Hey, welcome to the Travel Guys. Stuart Chiron, right?
That's correct, Chiron, yes.
Okay. Stuart, let's talk to a little bit about, we want to make our listeners a little bit smarter when it comes to buying cruises. It's January. It's the month when everybody buys cruises. More cruises are sold in the month of January than any other time of the year. There are a lot of resources. If somebody was a first-time cruiser and they were just wanted to get started with kind of building their portfolio of where they were going to buy and how they were going to do it, where would you suggest that they start?
Well, definitely doing a lot of research online. And one of my most important tips that I tell people is research online, but don't book online, because you're never sure you're going to get the best deal. There's all kinds of deals. You're talking about the timeshares, the cruise industry. There's so many different ways to buy the same product. You want to deal with some of the most reputable companies, and you can find them very easily doing a little bit of research online. I mean, I've been in this industry for 27 years. I've been on about 233 cruises at this point, and it's amazing to see how everything has changed from booking solely through an 800 phone number to essentially doing a lot of the research online and then making some phone calls to these people, because sometimes there may be some deals that are not available online that you have to actually call for.
Now, Stuart, we tell our listeners when it comes to booking hotels that third-party travel agents are really not the way to go, that you really want to go directly to the hotel property. Now most of the major chains are offering rates that can't be matched by other, especially if you're a member of their frequent guest programs. So are you suggesting that when it comes to cruises, that there may be some unpublished fares or some unpublished deals that are not available on the cruise lines websites themselves that may be available to travelers in other ways?
Actually, with the hotels, I totally agree. And let's say not getting the free internet or not getting your points with those specific hotels is a reason to book directly versus going on a third party. On the cruise side, unfortunately, it's the total opposite. You never want to book a cruise direct. You always want to go to a travel agent that actually specializes in cruises, not someone that's working out of their garage, or you're not looking for someone that is just an order taker. You need someone that specializes in cruising, because there's all kinds of offers that may be available for residents of certain states. There could be military discounts, senior discounts, et cetera. But booking direct, the cruise lines are never going to undercut or underprice their top travel agent partners. And by booking it direct, you're not going to be guaranteed the best price, and you're really not sure you're going to be on the right ship. You could be someone that is looking for let's say a Mercedes, and you wind up calling a cruise line the first time, and you wind up in a Hyundai. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but that's not the kind of experience that you wanted. That's not the kind of product you wanted.
Stuart, let me ask.
When you call that cruise line, they're not going to be able to tell you or recommend that you contact this other company. So that's one of the main reasons that you want to call a experienced cruise agent. And also, you need someone that can advocate for you in case there's a problem.
Absolutely. Stuart, let me shift gears a little bit here. We've got about a minute and a half left. Technology on the seas has always been, at least in recent years, has been spotty at best. People can't get their email. It costs a lot of money. The signals are tough. How are the cruise lines responding to folks who want to take their technology on the high seas with them? Is that situation getting any better?
The internet is incredibly faster than it's ever been. And the technology is an evolving commodity, essentially, on board the ships. And recently, I mean, it's interesting where, you know, cruise lines talk about innovation when they're really dealing with adapting existing technology on board the ships. But just at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Carnival Corporation unveiled technology that they've been developing for the past 18 months, which, if you're familiar with Disney's Magic Bands, essentially goes 3-4 generations past that, and it's really going to streamline and make the overall experience so much easier, where some people may have gone on Royal Caribbean and they used the WOW Bands and they pre-checked in, and it got them from the curb to the ship in 10 minutes. The new technology that Carnival Corporation is developing, which will debut in Regal Princess in November of 2017, will get you on even faster, but make your onboard experience so much easier.
Stuart, we're running out of time here. If folks, you've offered a lot of great information here. If folks would like to connect with you to get some more of the cruise type of cruise information you're offering, where can they go?
Cruiseguide.com.
Cruiseguide.com. Simple as that. Stuart, thank you for joining us today on The Travel Guys.
Coming up after the break, we'll have Timothy B. Schmidt with the Eagles, special guest on The Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Welcome. This is The Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. With us today is Steve LaRosa, and we've got a special guest on the line this afternoon, Sacramento Sun, perhaps one of the most successful local musicians of all time, Timothy B. Schmidt, of course, from the Eagles before that, country rock pioneer Poco, and for a lot of you from Sacramento might remember Timothy with a group called The New Breed. Appearing at the Crest Theater this Tuesday, January 17th at 7:30 p.m., part of his new 13-show West Coast tour. Timothy, welcome to The Travel Guys.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, Timothy, let's start with a little history. How about take a listen to this blast from the past?
Nothing to do, but you've got to follow me. If ever you
okay, I'll leave it up to you to fill in the listeners on that one.
You certainly picked an obscure tune to start this off with. It was probably recorded, I'm thinking, in 1966, I'm guessing, maybe 67, probably 66. It was with the New Breed. It was an attempted single that we put out after the success of our first single, which was called Green Eyed Woman. My friends there in Sacramento and I recorded.
And it's easy to see from that early vocal performance why you would go on to be one of the most sought-after vocalists in the music industry. So if you don't mind, please remind our audiences of some of the artists you've recorded and toured with between the time when the Eagles were taking a break for 14 years.
Yeah, well, even back during the Poco days, I was asked to sing for Steely Dan on 3 of their albums. I sang on Pretzel Logic and on Royal Scam and on Asia. I sang for a lot of people there for a while. Toto, Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Speaking of your work with Toto, let's take a listen. Timothy, you know, of all the people that you played with, were there any other bands in any groups that you either auditioned with or wanted to audition with that you aspired to play with?
Well, the only band that I really auditioned for other than Poco because the Eagles, the guys from the Eagles, they asked me to join without playing a note. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty great. I think it was the early 90s when the band was still broken up, and I had heard that the Rolling Stones bass player, Bill Wyman, was quitting. And I thought, what the heck? You know, I'm more of a singer, known for my singing than bass playing. But I composed a letter and found out who to send it to, their people. And they actually called me back and sent me to New York to audition as the Rolling Stones bass player, along with, I think, somewhere between 10 and 20 other people.
Sure.
In fact, I got off the plane and in baggage was getting off the same plane, but I didn't know he was on it. It was Stu Cook from Creedence Clearwater. I played with them in a rehearsal hall, just the four guys and the sound guy, for about an hour in New York. I never really expected to get it, but it was certainly thrilling and really great. And I felt good about what I did, whether I got it or not. I didn't walk away from it going like, oh God, I really screwed up. I thought I did well. And
then after replacing Randy Meisner in Poco, you again followed him after he left the Eagles. And we're all familiar with your chart-topping hit, I Can't Tell You Why. But with your permission, I picked another one of your amazing vocal performances backing Don Henley on Waiting in the Weeds on the Eagles' Long Road Out of Eden album.
Hope is burning on the freezing, carrying my soul high. Sleeping, knowing that the seasons are slowly changing.
Nice work, Timothy.
Thank you.
By the way, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Timothy B. Schmidt here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. And Timothy was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the Eagles back in 98.
I went to the hall in Cleveland, and I saw that they were displaying something unusual that you donated to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Timothy. Do you know what I'm referencing?
The keys.
The keys. Tell people about that.
Back when there were actual keys for hotels, years and years ago, I started obsessively collecting them. A lot of Holiday Inns, lot of different. I'm telling you, I was obsessive. I had to lift them and put them in my pocket. I would come home after a tour with a bunch of keys, and I would throw them in a duffel bag, never knowing why or what I was doing it for. And then the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, when it was just beginning, they were asking for anything that we might have that we might want to donate. And then, you know, the light bulb went off over my head, and that's why I saved these keys. So I sent them the entire duffel bag, and I've not actually seen it in person. I've seen pictures of it, but it looks to me like they used the duffel bag and everything with keys spilling out of it. That's the story.
And most recently, the Eagles were recipients at the Kennedy Center Honors, and you were introduced by Ringo Starr, whom you toured with in his All-Star Band.
That's right. He was there. Ringo is Joe's brother-in-law, Joe Walsh's
yes.
brother-in-law. He was there. It was great to see him again. Hadn't seen him in a while. And he, he's always quite the character, and we had some fun.
So what was that experience like, the Kennedy Center Honors?
What can I say? It was really great. My whole family came. My whole family got to meet the Obamas. I just met a lot of people and saw a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time. It was truly fantastic.
What an honor.
Bet it was. Yeah, yeah. Let's bring us to today. Timothy B. Schmidt and the band's going to be at the Crest Theater on Tuesday, January 17th. The new album, Leap of Faith, got a lot of great stuff. It's really a potpourri of Americana, Timothy, the roots of country, folk, rock. Yeah, you got a lot of who's who sitting in. Can you want to drop some names?
Ben Montench from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I've got Taylor Hawkins on one song playing drums from the Foo Fighters. My oldest daughter, Jedra, sang. She's a great singer. She sang on the song called All Those Faces. And that was a really a great day because we've sung together before, but we we really saw how there was a genetic thing there in the quality of our voices, which was made us smile.
I want to give our audience an opportunity to hear a little bit from your new album. Here's a cut called The Waltz.
Just beautiful. And we'd like to play another cut from the album. And if I'm not mistaken, did Al Jardine's sons, Al Jardine of the Beach Boys, singing backups on the island?
Yeah. I actually was going to have him as well, but he got sick. But his sons, I had already made arrangements for them to come into town and put them up and all that. So I just said, well, I'm going to do this anyway. And they were great. We spent a lot of time on this. They probably thought they were just going to do a little oohing and aahing, but I said, no, we're singing the whole thing together, and we're going to get it as perfect as possible.
So come stay with me. We'll listen to the train wind flow.
Timothy B. Schmidt coming to the Crest Theater this Tuesday, January 17th, 7:30, part of his 13-show West Coast tour, and been our special guest here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Timothy, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend time with us, and can't wait to have you back in town. You got any special family or friends you want to say hi to here in Sacramento while we got you on?
Well, of course, my old new breed friends. I still stay in contact with Ron, Tom, and George. We will have a lunch there sometime before the show. And one of my brothers is still there, and I have a lot of old acquaintances there, and I hope to see those faces in the audience.
Okay, great, Timothy. Thank you for this time, and great luck on the tour, and looking forward to seeing you at your show at the Crest on January 17th. And thank you again, and good luck to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Timothy. Stay well. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Three old rock and rollers, I kind of sense there. You guys were all kind of just fading out in each other. That was a terrific interview. I don't know who that man is. I wouldn't have known him from Adam, but I thought that was really a terrific interview, and the music is wonderful. If I were in town, I would be going to it at the Crest Tuesday night at 7:30. Great job for you and Steve LaRosa. Until next week, I'm Mark Kaufman. Remember, dance like there's no one is watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week.